you know, really good people to train with, good groups that makes you like want to go for that little extra workout or look forward to the next one, because that has helped me so much.
That Triathlon Show, episode 106. Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of That Triathlon Show, the podcast presented by scientifictriathlon.com. I'm your host, Michael, and today's episode is slightly different than most of the episodes on this podcast. I interview my coach, André Campos, and my teammate, Katarina Larsson, on how and what it takes to go from an adult onset triathlete, starting as a 24-year-old, as Katarina did, and then becoming an age group European champion that she has become three times, both from the athletes and the coaches' perspective. So that's something that I hope that you will find useful, and you'll see what goes into it, and maybe it will reduce some self-imposed limits that you have on yourself, because as we'll get into, Katarina did not have a swimming background. She isn't a special talent or anything, she says herself. So anybody can become really good, but it takes a few key things that we'll go into in the interview. And they'll both introduce themselves as well in the interview, so I'll leave that for then. But first, let's quickly thank our sponsors that bring you this episode twice per week. This episode is sponsored by Precision Hydration. Remember that all of you listeners can get your first box of Precision Hydration for free by using the discount code THATTRIATHLONSHOW, all one word, all caps, on precisionhydration.com. And now is the time to start practicing your race strategy. If you have any sort of issues with performance decline in long races, and especially hot races, maybe cramps, things like that, getting the electrolyte balance right, getting enough sodium for your sodium losses is critical. So take their free online sweat test that you'll find on their website to make sure that you get your especially tailored for you electrolyte drink strength. So again, that's precisionhydration.com. And a big, big, big warm welcome to new sponsor Stack that you can find on stackzero.com. That's all spelled out, and Stack is spelled S-T-A-C. They make the world's quietest indoor bike trainer with a trainer that does not touch your wheel. It uses magnets, so you have zero noise and zero tire wear. Listeners of That Triathlon Show can get 20% off when you use the discount code TTS20. And I personally use the Stack Zero myself, their power meter version. I decided to go with that trainer after a lot of obsessive compulsive research, as I usually do, reading, among other things, all of DC Rainmaker's bike trainer reviews. So I can certainly vouch for this myself. Again, to find out more about the silence and the zero tier, the portability, all of the other benefits that Stack Zero has, go to stackzero.com, and that is linked to in the episode description and in the show notes. So without any further ado, let's go right into the interview with Katarina and André. Okay, so we're sitting here in André Campos' kitchen. We've had an excellent lunch that André cooked for us, and I'm here with André and with Katarina, and I'm going to start asking Katarina to tell us a little bit about yourself and your triathlon career to date.
Yeah, so I'm a Swedish girl, born and raised basically in Sweden, that moved to Portugal when I was 19, and that's basically how I came into triathlon as well. I've just been doing a lot of sports during my life, athletics, horseback riding, basketball, but never triathlon actually. So it started here in Portugal. I've been here now for 14 years, so that makes me 33 years old. I started triathlon back in 2007, six, I would say, seven, but it didn't start that seriously from the beginning. I was actually picked up by a triathlon club when I won a road race. It was an 8K race, and I was running pretty well at the time. And then they asked me, would you like to come to triathlon? And I thought, yeah, I could try. Never been swimming or biking before. So that's how it started. But at the first, I think I had some struggle getting into the sport. It was a lot of equipment, expensive, and I got injured as well in the start because I, probably have chosen the wrong way to start.
So how old were you when you started?
I was, 24 years old. Yeah.
Okay. Go on.
Yes. And basically then I got started to swim, and that's what I would say that my triathlon career took off when I started to swim with André. That was back in 2010, 8 years ago. So before that, I had been racing a bit. I've been training, but I was training too much. Then I was training too little. I was training wrong. So I think I sort of got the real motivation and the real sort of start in 2010 with André. And I won my first Portuguese individual cup race later on that year. And then I decided to move on with André as coach. And then I think it's been going fairly well.
So what are some of the other accomplishments that you've had so far in your career, race-wise?
So I think the highlights have been, I was three times European champion in my age group in 2014 and two times in 2016 when I won both the sprint and the Olympic and was overall the best athlete of all age groupers in the sprint distance. Then I think that being selected for the elite national team three times, racing against Olympic athletes, even if I'm an age grouper, and also my gold medal in the Portuguese national championship in cycling, and then probably as well I would say the two victories in the long distance triathlon in Lisbon and Cascais, then competing despite being an age grouper, competing against the professionals.
And you're not, as you say, you're an age grouper, you have a job, so can you tell us what you do, and to show the listeners that you're not training all day, all night, you're fitting this in with a busy life?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I work at for Tetra Pak. I work as supply chain manager. So basically, I have to fit in training before work. So early mornings, I go and swim. I wake up 5:30 every day. We start the morning session around 6:30. Then I go to work a full day, quite stressful. You know how it is these days, meetings, pressure. And then I get off work around 6:30 in the evening, and I do another session.
So, André, as Katarina just did, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your triathlon career, and also your coaching career specifically?
Yeah, of course. Hi, everybody. I start as a swimmer, as an athlete, with 3 years old, and then when I was 17, I saw on TV a triathlon race. I can't remember exactly, but I think it was an Ironman race. And I got it quite interesting. And so I start to see where I could start to do triathlon and how I could do it. Because it was quite new in that time, I'm saying like 99. So before the Olympics, the first ever Olympic triathlon. So I did like three or four years of triathlon as an athlete. Went quite well, pretty well. I was national champion in overall and junior. I did World Cups. I did World and European Championships. And then I had a problem in the back, so I had to quit. So it was a time to finish my studies and to start to think on my coach career. So then in 2000, 2008, I start with the triathlon team with some athletes, not exactly a club.
You started coaching, you mean?
Yeah, start coaching, yeah. Coaching like swim coach and triathlon coach. And then I got the opportunity to start with my own team in Sporting. And so it's what I've been doing until now.
Great. Now we have that as a bit of a background setting. So the idea here is to talk a little bit about, from both the athletes and the coaches' perspective, what it takes to become highly competitive, as Katarina has been, even when you're starting as an adult at 24 years old. And you also have to combine that with a busy job. And that's kind of what we're aiming to pick apart now. So can you tell us, Katarina, what was your level? You said that you were pretty good at running when you started, but swimming was completely new to you, and cycling. How did you, what was your initial ability levels there, and how soon did you pick those things up and start improving?
Well, yes, as you said, I hadn't been swimming before. So basically, as you know, in Sweden, you learn how to swim to survive in the water. That was my level. So I know how to do freestyle. I thought I knew how to do butterfly, but probably not. So my level of swimming was really poor, I would say. I mean, I couldn't get through 1 kilometer of swimming. So I started really from basic level in swimming. The bike was as well zero. I had never been ridden a road bike before. Of course, I've been riding, you know, to the stables as a kid and so on, but never had a real road bike. I think that I got into a quite good group in the beginning of the swim, and I started to swim pretty fast, if I recall, quite a lot of kilometers, probably not as much focus on the technique as I would have wanted it to be. But I picked the swimming up relatively fast. My opinion about the biking, I started off with a really poor bicycle that was way too small, which was a mistake because I got back problems as well because of that. And that was basically to get the kilometers in, even though it has turned out that biking has been one of my strengths, like if you compare input-output. But I think that biking is something, as I've noticed throughout the years, the more years you train, it will come. You have to be quite patient with a bike and get the specific bike skills. Then, of course, it's the technique, which I was pretty bad at and still, I must admit, not my strength. And then the swim, which has always been throughout my triathlon career. And I think André will confirm that my biggest frustration, even though I shouldn't be too hard on myself, because I've managed as a 24-year-old to swim fairly okay, but yet always wanting more. And I mean, it's hard when you start at that age, but I should be, yeah, okay with what I've done, yeah.
So what times are you doing now, if you're doing a sprint or Olympic distance on the swim?
How many minutes I do, yeah, on the swim? Around, it depends a bit on the course, but maybe 10 minutes? I would say 10 minutes, yeah.
And so you're doing like 100 meter intervals in 120, sub 120, depending a bit on the set?
Yes, so maybe I should be happy with myself.
do you have any idea where you started that? Were you swimming slower than 2 minutes or 2:30 per 100? Or do you have any idea about that?
I would say not around the 2 minutes, but probably, yeah, a bit below the 2 minutes, for sure. Yeah.
So that just goes to show, because that's something that I think is important to point out, because a lot of people think that it's impossible, but you started as an adult and at that same level as many others are, but you don't have to get stuck. You can get down to, you are pretty hard on yourself probably if you're dissatisfied with that progression, at least in the ears and eyes of most age groupers, I would say. So what was, did you get a, you said that you joined a team, did you have coaches from the start, and how did that work in the early years when you first started?
Yeah, so the first, I mean, when I was picked up after that run race, I joined a team that had a coach. So I had sort of a training plan from the beginning, or I had different people helping me. But I think it started off, as I mentioned before, a bit rough for me, because I think you have to take in consideration when you start, you have to start slowly and get your body not only to get used to two new sports, but also, to adapt to which level you're at. Yeah, I thought it was a bit too much, probably. And that also had some back problems because of that.
So how much did you train when you started?
Well, when I got my first programs, it kind of escalated quite fast from, I would say, 10, 12 hours up to over 20 hours. I've kept all the old programs I had. But at that time, then I started to get problems because I wasn't doing any gym or strength training.
Were you very driven and in on that, and you wanted to progress fast and become successful? Or what was the driver behind that increase?
Yeah, I don't really, because I think at that time I didn't really question it, why my program was increasing that much. Probably I should, but as I am very driven and very competitive, probably as a person, I sort of accepted it and thought that this was the way forward.
Okay, so then when you started with, did you have any coaches in between that first team, by the way, and before you started with André? And how did things change until you started with André as your coach? And how did things then change with André once you joined his coaching squad?
Yeah, so I had, before I joined André, and also before I joined Sporting, I went to a few different teams, and I had, I would say, just really one main coach, and then I had help from another. But I think that was the main changing from that previous, having one coach, but still nothing very structured, getting input from others, then changing to André, where it was a very structured approach, a person that was adapting my training, like taking it a bit back to then be able to move forward. So he was doing a really good job with me, taking my hectic lifestyle that I had, understanding my weaknesses, just starting off the swim. I mean, I changed to André because I really liked his approach in the swim workouts. I was seeing great, great progression. And then always been his very structure methodology, has a good methodology, and he is not that coach that just gives quantity and quantity, rather quality and building it from the base.
So let's go back to André. When Katarina started with you, what the swim, it sounds pretty obvious what I'm going to ask you anyway. What did you see as her strengths and weaknesses? Were there any other things, and how did you kind of, what was your thought process starting coaching her?
Yeah, when I start to coach Katarina, you could see that she was quite competitive, and I think that it was something very, like, one of her characteristics that put her going forward quite fast, and yes, the swim, it was something that she got a bit frustrated, and we could see that, but she have like natural capacities, and she was swimming well, but for her it wasn't what she wanted to go for. She always wanted to go more, what she said about her back problems, that you could see she was a bit stiff, and so the rotation of the body, the flow in the swim wasn't what we wanted, but it's something that we have to adapt and to change a bit her technique in that way, trying to find what could fit her better, taking into consideration the problems and the limitations that she had. Then on the bike, she was a quite stronger athlete in the bike. Like physically, you could see like she fits very well in the bike. It's like that kind of athletes that you see the combo, it's like just one, her in the bike, it's just one. But then it was missing some structured exercises that she could take the performance a bit higher. But you could see from the beginning that she could go quite far in the bike. And in the years after, it was not strange that it was her best segment in the triathlon. And in the run, she had like her past in athletics, and you could see that. And so it was just to try to keep her running and managing the impact of the running on her back problems, and go step by step.
So if you remember, what was her training like roughly back then when she first started with you?
She told me something about it, because I mean
when you started doing her program, like what was kind of the weekly hours and split between the different disciplines?
She starts more or less with 16-17 hours a week. With this, we are already taking like a kind of 1 hour and 30 sessions of swim, more bike in the weekends. In the run, probably not more than 1 hour. And so basically it was with that we start.
And how did the priorities, if they did, change over the years? Have things evolved somehow with the training, and have there been different periods where you have focused on different things and having different priorities?
Yes, when we start to see the improvements that Katarina start to have, we noticed that if we wanted to go a step further, we have to improve her swim, because I think on that time the bike and the run was going naturally very well, and the swim it was what we had to improve to get a step forward, and then it was periods that we focus a lot on the bike, because we noticed that she could even perform in just bike races. So it was pretty that we just focused on the bike. And the run, it was a period that we start to focus a bit more just in the run. But that's when we wanted to focus on a really, like a time that we wanted to do on a half marathon or 10Ks. Not regarding triathlon, that we focus a lot just on one segment, but more when we are talking about run or bike competitions, that we start to focus a bit more on one segment. Otherwise, it was more the swim when it was just regarding triathlon. Yes, the swim, it was the when we focus and thinking about triathlon.
And when you mentioned that she had lacked a bit of structure to some of her training, is there any specific kind of training structure that you started giving her, or was it just structure in general that was lacking, and introducing any sort of structured training that changed and made an improvement?
You are talking about the swim?
And all disciplines.
Mm-hmm. Basically, it was we tried to not put too much mileage, and we saw the technique doesn't, especially like pliometric, something that it's not was not able for Katarina, because the impact of the exercises. So what we tried to structure on her program, it was more the time that she was doing the exercises, and that she could do it in a good in the good technique way. So basically in the swim, it was probably that we start to swim a bit less, but focus more on the technique in the kind of period of 1-2 months, and then starting from there we could go a bit bit forward. But then in the bike, that it was not so much concerns about the bike, because the her problems on the back was not hurting, or it was not a problem, a real problem. So on that we didn't have problems with that on putting more workouts. And in the run, yes, in the run we try to limit, like not running more than 1 hour, for example, and keep some speed anyway, because we knew that if we will longer beat the runs, then the technique will go down, will deteriorate the technique. So it's it was a concern, like not doing too much time running and over tiredness, because as we knew that and we know that she's it's not a professional athlete, and when she runs she had already been all one day sitting and working and running to one side to the other, so we have to count already with that that tiredness, and not just physical tiredness but special psychology tiredness, and so it's sometimes we don't need to damage much more, and just to put the legs moving a bit.
And a question for Katarina: do you have any thoughts on what any things that you want to point out that has been especially helpful in driving your progression and helping you improve? Any particular things within your training or outside of training?
Yeah, I think it's important for anyone who listens to this. I mean, you hear a lot about, you know, 3 gold medals here and there. But yet it's important for me to mention that I'm not any kind of talent. I would say that I have some kind of easiness to get into sports, but it's been really hard work. But besides that, I think that it's been consistency. I think that there has been times when it's been harder and you know, you don't really feel like it, or you don't see progression, but the consistency and also being able to listen a bit more to my body and learn and maybe understand that sometimes you don't need to train that much and so hard, but that results and it will come naturally as long as you keep consistency and not train really much 1 week, nothing the other. So that's what I take with me from all this year. I kept a good consistency and the results have been coming. And I mean, of course, it's a lot of hard work, but it's not like it came from one day to the other.
Yeah, and it's not consistency over 2 or 3 months. It's consistency over 10 or 11 years to your goals last summer from when you started. So that's a very good point. Do you have any tips regarding how to integrate training? Because you train, compared to a lot of age groupers, quite a lot. So how do you integrate that and manage it with your life, your work and everything?
Yeah, I think I always try to say to people, because they laugh at me when I tell my schedule of my life. It's a lifestyle, and it's something that I decided that I wanted to do. And of course, it's not so easy waking up early and going late in the afternoon. But for me, what's been really crucial, I think it's to have a great team to train with. So you're motivated in the morning to wake up and go to the pool, and you have different kind of ages, levels. I think we have a really good, so that motivates me, drives me. And I mean, then of course I have as Andrea said as well, a stressful job. So I try to always manage my tiredness, and sometimes I don't and I overdo it a bit, but get, you know, really good people to train with, good groups that makes you like want to go for that little extra workout or look forward to the next one, because that has helped me so much. I mean, of course, Andrea is a coach, but my teammates, yeah, and having same people around you or a good friend, you know, that does the same as you do.
And a question for Andrea: if there have been any challenges or something that,
Any challenges regarding coaching Katarina that you want to point out?
That's a hard question in terms that you are putting me in a difficult situation.
It doesn't have to be that she is difficult or anything. It can be just things that you have struggled with how do I plan this for her?
I understood. I was just joking. Yeah, Katerina, it's what she have as an athlete, what she have the as the best can be the worst on her. The competitiveness, the drive to perform can put her in a very high dimension. But then if it's something that she can't control and that she can't handle, she beats the wall. And that it's the most challenge for or the biggest challenge for Katerina. It's how she said, it's to try to listen her body, and it's something that for her it's very difficult, and it's not easy for her to get it, because she the drive for her it's so high that the body have to handle always, and the body have to go further, and this is the mentality of a champion. And if you see the best athletes, they are like that. You don't put a brake on yourself and you go until it crack. And it's what happens sometimes with Katerina. And that, of course, is not healthy. And it's something that it's a challenge to understand when we are starting to going over limits and or even try to avoid it to achieve a phase that we can understand that we are going on that way and we have to give a step back to keep going.
And from this case study and for the audience, which is people like Katerina that have full-time jobs and maybe families, and they try to mix triathlon with all of this, what would you say that they should take away, and what are the most important things from them to learn from this, that everything that we talked about today?
Yeah, of course, someone that does triathlon, I think it's already someone that really likes sports and takes it almost as a lifestyle, and it's a person that usually wants to do more and to have good results and to perform and to improve every day. So that is the type of people that that does triathlon. So we have to be very careful. And one of the most important thing that we have to have in consideration, it's that they are doing triathlon, but they have to do it for joy, and for it's something that they have to take pleasure, and it's a plus on their lives. Don't have to be a minus or a sacrifice. Because if it's in that way, I think the people should rethink about it and understand why they are doing triathlon. And so I think managing time with family, with their friends, with their jobs, I think that is the most important, and to be organized and knowing from the beginning, okay, this is the time that I have to train, and so they can balance with all their own life, and then listen to the body, of course. Like we're already, because when we train, it's not just the stress that we do on our body training, but it's all the stress around, the physical stress, moving from one side to the other, taking the children to the school, picking them up, or the psychologic problems and difficulties that people could have with their jobs and so on. So I think the most important is that people can listen to their body, understand what they really can do, the time that they have to train, and to have it, to do it for joy and to not just to perform or achieve a result. I think all the process that you take when you are training, it's the most important. It's where you will have more pleasure in all of this. Because sometimes you can achieve a great result, but if all the process, if all that months that you have been preparing for that race weren't pleasant and that you didn't take, that result will maybe last 1 week, some days, that you achieve that goal and you are very happy and so on, but you don't taste it for a long time. If the process, it was something that you really took some pleasure with it, even if the result, it's not the best that you thought that you could do it, I think you will take for the future. It's all the process that you did and that you'll be thankful and proud of it. So I think it's basically is that you understand what you are doing and that you try to have fun with it.
Okay, do any of you guys have anything else to add, or shall we move on to the rapid fire questions? Nothing to add. Let's move on. And Katarina, you said that you don't have an answer to the first one, so I'm just going to ask that of André. And that is, what's your favorite book, blog, or resource related to triathlon?
Well, I don't have a favorite book or blog or so on, but I have some that I think it's important. And I think one that it was important for me as a coach and as a person, it was Life of P. I think it was important in terms of perseverance and social communication or intelligence, like social intelligence, and trying to relative the things that happens every day. So the relativeness. And so I would say that. Then I have some coaches that I take is like as mentors, and it's funny because it's not regarding endurance or triathlon, but I like to follow Stuart McMillan. It's a sprint coach, and Brett Bartholomew, that is a strength and condition coaching, and I think they write quite well and they always give good tips regarding coaching.
And what's your favorite piece of gear or equipment, Katarina?
Oh, my Boardman time trial bike.
André, do you have anything?
Yeah, on that I don't have nothing special, no.
And Katarina, what do you wish you had known or wish you had done differently at some point in your career?
Well, this one is for my father. Dad, he should have put me swimming when I was 8.
André, do you have anything?
What I would do differently, yeah.
No regrets. No. Okay, excellent. Well, thank you both of you for coming on. It's been really fun talking and learning more. I haven't known all of this. I've just heard fragments previously, so it's good to get a good full story, and I think they will be very useful as a case study for listeners to hear from an age grouper and not maybe from coaches or professional athletes or coaches that coach just professional athletes. So this makes it more relatable, I hope. And yeah, so thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so I really hope that you enjoyed that interview a lot and got a lot of inspiration out of it. And I must say that I personally was really inspirational for me to listen. I knew kind of the rough outline of the story, but I haven't really talked with either Katarina or Andrea about the details of it. So diving deep into it was absolutely fantastic and very, very, very inspirational. It's kind of makes you motivated for the next 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it takes to become, to reach your goals. And for me, as well as for anybody listening, realize that it is a long-term process. And even if your goal isn't to win major events, the principles still apply. Whatever your goals really are, you need consistency over a long period of time. That's absolutely key, as we went into. And you need focus, structure, and a lot of hard work. But very importantly, you need to have that enjoyment in the process that Andrea especially talked a lot about towards the end of the interview. So I think that was a really, really important takeaway as well. And finally, I want to say that you don't need to be a talent in any other disciplines to become very, very good. And Katarina is proof of that. There are a lot of others. If you want to win Ironman Hawaii or the Olympics in triathlon, sure, you need the genetics. But if you just want to be really just, it's not just by any means, but if you want to be really, really good in your age group, like win championships, genetics are not anywhere near as important as actually just putting in the work over a long period of time and being smart about your training. It doesn't really come into play until at the very, very, very pointy end, I think so. So you can really forget about the talent question and saying that I'm not talented enough to become good. That's rubbish. You can become really, really good without having any sort of talent. So, as usual, you can find the show notes for this episode on thattriathlonshow.com. And in the next episode, which will be released on Monday as usual, I interview, except for the beginner tips, of course, tune in on Fridays for those. But on Monday, in the main That Triathlon Show interview, I have a return of one of the all-time favorites of the podcast, Jerry Rodriguez, triathlon swim coach extraordinaire. And he's back to talk about structured swim training and a lot of mistakes that age groupers make with structuring their training and having the right swim training prescription. So that's a doozy for sure. I look forward to bringing you that. Jerry is, as I say, he's really amazing with the way he distills his knowledge to the listeners. In the meantime, if you find this show valuable and you enjoy it, would you please help me spread the word and make it grow by taking 2 quick minutes to rate and review it on iTunes or on other podcast apps that you might use that have rate and review functions. And please don't just think that a lot of others will probably do it, so I don't need to. I can tell you that it is really a small trickle of people that do it. So every single rating and review counts a lot. Please make it be yours. Take ownership to help me spread the show. That I would really, really appreciate that. Finally, a big, big thanks to our sponsors. First, we have Stack. Their indoor bike trainer, the Stack Zero, comes in 2 different models. The base version and the power meter version that gives you a way to train with power even if you don't have a power meter, which is a massive, massive advantage for all triathletes. And Stack will also be launching a variable resistance version of these trainers later this year. And whatever model you choose to buy now, you will be able to easily upgrade it later to that variable resistance unit. And that is certainly my plan to do so with the power meter version that I have right now. To find out more, go to stackzero.com. And thank you so much to Precision Hydration for sponsoring this episode. Just like I mentioned that Andrew from Stack has been a guest on the podcast, so has Andy from Precision Hydration, and that was just a couple of episodes later in episode 49. That was a really great one. Go and check that out. And after you've done that, remember to go and take their free online triathlon sweat test on precisionhydration.com to get your personalized hydration strategy for your summer races, and use that promo code thattriathlonshow, all one word, to get your first Precision Hydration pack for free. Whether you buy their products or not, their blog is a great resource for all sorts of endurance sports content. So check that out. It's under the Hydration Advice tab on precisionhydration.com. Thank you, as always, for listening. Keep training smart and keep loving triathlon.